Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, September the 20th, 2020. It is currently 8:42 a.m. Central Time, and we are about to, walk into a minefield. There's probably going to be explosions. This is probably going to be dangerous. This is probably going to be controversial. So I've got to be very careful where I step, how I step, and how many steps I take. I should probably take one step and just back out of the minefield, because if there's an explosion, it's going to be me who gets injured, because I don't think I'm going to be able to please anyone in this episode of the Non-Catholic Catholic Podcast. I'm going to do my best to try to be very careful here. This may require some additional research, some additional clarification. And part of the problem is I've been looking at a website that's all in Italian, and I'm doing Google Translate to try to translate, make sure I understand exactly what this website and what this group stands for. And it appears to me that this group stands for basically the idea that, hey, Christianity and homosexuality, they're compatible. I mean, you can be a Christian and be a homosexual, and it's no big deal. You can be straight and be a Christian. You can be a homosexual and be a Christian. In other words, there's no need for repentance. There's no need to confess it. It seems like somehow homosexuality, LGBTQ, all of that is compatible with Christianity, with Catholicism, to be specific, but they are obviously would see Catholicism as Christianity. So they would say Catholicism, Christianity, that homosexuality is compatible with it. That seems to be the approach this group is taking. But I'll tell you what to look up. You can do your own research. We have to dig into this, and why this is controversial is there are lots of groups out there that say these kinds of things. There's churches out there that say these kinds of things. What makes this somewhat controversial is because of, some recent news related to Pope Francis. Now, Pope Francis is obviously, the head of, he's the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, right? I mean, magisterial authority, all of his authority. So you would think then that if he has anything to do with this group, then he's either got to confront the group and say, wait a minute, some of your teachings aren't correct here, or not compatible with the Catholic Church, not compatible with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Or if he doesn't say that, then is he giving some kind of approval to this group and what they teach? That's what we're going to have to try to figure out. Here's how it all went down. The Jesuit Review, right? It's americamagazine.org. americamagazine.org. And then once you go there, you'll find America, the Jesuit Review. If I can speak right this morning, all right? So right now I got people messaging me. So I got so much going on right now while I'm trying to do all of this. All right, here we go. Here is the headline: Pope Francis to parents of LGBT children. All right, so here's Pope Francis to parents of LGBT children. God loves your children as they are. All right, now we got to stop. This is always the problem with these kinds of situations. Is Pope Francis says something, and you're sometimes scratching your head, going, "Wait, what? What is he doing now? What is he talking about?" And sometimes it's very frustrating. And I've stated it before: when it comes to being theologically precise and theologically clear, Pope Francis is not very good at that. That's my estimation. I know I'm the non-Catholic Catholic. I know I'm not the Catholic here. So as Catholics, you can tell me if you agree or disagree. I mean, if I had to choose, if I was choosing which pope I would prefer Pope Benedict would be the one I would prefer just because of his theological clarity. Pope Francis, I'm sometimes like, what? Very loose in his words sometimes. And when controversy erupts over his words, rarely does he come back and offer any clarification. Sometimes the Vatican will try to say, okay, well, Pope Francis didn't actually mean what he seemed to say. I wish the Pope would come out and say, I didn't mean what I seemed to say. Here's what I actually meant. But it's usually, you know, the Vatican releases a statement to clarify it. So this just that headline, there's a lot there to unpack, right? Because this is the Christianity has to walk. How can I say this? Christianity at times can be very confusing and trying. Christianity can be very confusing at times and trying to articulate the different aspects of a Christian perspective or a Christian view. In other words, there's at times Christianity can seem very contradictory or confusing because we hold multiple ideas at the same time that at first can look like they contradict, but you have to really dig in to see how they really are compatible and work together. In fact, you have to take all of Christianity to get the full picture. You can take parts of Christianity and then end up with an unbalanced view. Let me try to explain this in regards to this subject. All right. When it comes to homosexuality, all right, homosexuality is a sin just like adultery, lust, fornication, gossip, covetousness, idolatry. Okay. In fact, in many lists in the scriptures where it lists a lot of sins, homosexuality will be sometimes included with that list of a lot of other sins. So homosexuality is clearly a sin. No question about it. It's condemned in the scripture. Again, along with other forms of sexual sin, all right? So it's a sin, no question about it. And obviously you're called to repent. Now, this is the thing. When it comes to God's relationship to sinners, there is one sense where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. So there is one sense that God does love all of us. He loves sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? There is a sense that God does love us all, but he loves us in this way. He loves us that he sent his son to die as a substitutionary sacrifice for us, and that if we place our faith in him, we can experience salvation. Now, I know I'm going, I'm definitely viewing this. I'm viewing salvation in the gospel, obviously, from a more Protestant perspective than a Catholic perspective. But the idea is Catholics and Protestants can agree that God loves, he sent his son to die. And so the God's love motivated him ultimately to send his son, obviously in the eternal decrees and plans of God, to send his son to die for sinners, right? To die for sinners. So here's the thing. So there is a sense that it's true. He loves LGBT sinners. He loves heterosexual sinners. He loves us. He loves sinners. He loves them so that he sent his son to die for us. But here's the thing. Even though he loves us, he sent his son to die for us, but he loves us, send his son, but calls us to repentance. He doesn't love a sinner and say, stay as you are. No, he loves you to call you to repentance and faith, to move from your sin towards the Son, to move away from the destructive elements of sin and all the damage it does, to pursue godliness and righteousness, to pursue a different path. He loves us, but this is the weird thing. He loves us. Yes, there is a sense where we have to proclaim God loves you. But in that love, there is a call to repentance. There is a call to something different. There is a call to holiness. The Bible calls us to be ye holy as he is holy. There is a call to repent and turn from your sin. We have the story, some argue whether it belongs in the New Testament or not, of the woman caught in adultery, right? And all these people want to stone her. And Jesus says, look, where are your accusers? Okay, they all gone because he in his conversation with them, they all drop their rocks and he's, hey, oh yeah, you can stone her, but the person without sin, throw the first stone, okay? They all drop their rocks, walk away. And then Jesus says, okay, where are your accusers? Okay, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more is kind of the concept. Look, I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to condemn you, but go and sin no more. The idea is, yes, there is love. Yes, there is forgiveness, but there is a call to a different way of life. All right. And I want to make that very clear that's the part of Christianity that sometimes people forget. There is a love there, but the love is not just, hey, I love you, stay the way you are. That's not the way it works. It's I love you, but you know, be different. All right. Yes, here it is. John chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those who accuse, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's John chapter 8, verse 11. I wanted to make sure I gave a correct paraphrase of that. Yes, go and sin no more. That's the idea. It's not, hey, I love you. Stay the way you are. No, I love you. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you, but repent, turn to him, turn from your sin, turn towards God, pursue righteousness, pursue holiness, pursue a different way of life. You're not going to do it perfectly. So we need repentance. We need forgiveness on a continual basis. But it's not, hey, God loves you just the way you are. Just the way you stay the way you are. So it is true that God loves people in a general way. At the same time, he can be angry and hate and condemn the actions we engage in. There can be love, but there can be displeasure and disapproval of said action. I can love my child, but disapprove of an action they may take. I can love my child, but disapprove of them sitting under a bridge on a Friday night shooting up heroin. I can love my child, but disapprove of them robbing the local convenience store. I can love my child, but disapprove of a premarital sexual relationship. Even from a heterosexual perspective, it's a heterosexual relationship, and they're engaging in premarital sex. Well, the Bible condemns that. I can still love them, but disapprove of said action. God can love us and disapprove of an action and call us to repent and turn from said action. Like, we have to draw a balance there. So what's concerning is, again, the statement. Pope Francis to parents of LGBT children, God love your children as they are. Well, now, yes, he loves them as they are, but are you not going to tell them that he would also call those children to repentance? So what is going on here? Well, here's the story. Pope Francis told a group of parents of LGBT children yesterday that God loves your children as they are, and the church loves your children as they are because they are children of God. Now, we got to stop right here. Wait a minute. Children of God. Yes, we're children of God by creation, but we're not spiritually the children of God until we are converted, until we are brought into the family of God. Unless you're going to argue that Catholicism teaches everyone's a child of God. Everyone's a child of God of creation, but not everyone's a child of God apart from there's a child of God in a sense from a creation standpoint, but there is being a child of God as being converted and brought into the family of God, right? In the Catholic Church, through the sacrament of baptism, you're in a sense, you're born into the family of God. You're brought into the family of God. You're adopted into the family of God through conversion, through salvation. So again, that's like, I need some clarification there. He said this, he did so in a brief encounter with some 40 Italian parents, both mothers and fathers, of LGBT children after the public audience and the Renaissance courtyard in San Damaso and the Vatican. Now, the parents, now here's where things get interesting. The parents are members of an Italian association, right? I'm not going to try to give you the Italian name. I'll spell it out for you in a minute. It's basically translates Jonathan's Tent. Jonathan's Tent. So I looked up the group Jonathan's Tent. And when I looked it up, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's going on here? So I started looking up some articles on their website. I started looking of this association. And they have an article, because all of you straight and gay are one in Christ Jesus. So whether you're straight or whether you're gay, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. This is seeming to make an argument that homosexuality is compatible with Christianity. And so let me just jump down here and give you some of the idea, all right? According to this individual, if we went to see what Jesus said about homosexuality, we would be disappointed, because Jesus, about sexual identity, unlike the churches, has nothing to say. The example of Christ was rather that of looking for marginalized people, estranged from the people in the church, sinners, tax collectors, lepers, prostitutes, pagans, all of these different people. Jesus went against the trend. Not only did he fully welcome those who belonged to these categories, but he affirmed that they would proceed in the kingdom of heaven. Conspicuously, religious men such as priests and the elders of the people. Now, the only problem with that idea is, yes, Jesus reached out to tax collectors, lepers, prostitutes, all of those people, but there was always a call to repentance, to believe. He wasn't like, hey, stay the way you are. And that's the mentality that they're getting. And so obviously they want to include that, hey, Jesus didn't have anything to say about homosexuality. He didn't say anything. Okay, well, it's all of God's word. It's all of God's word. So there's plenty of scriptures that condemn sexual immorality. And so let's see here. What else do they have to say? In various episodes of the gospel, Jesus welcomes with open arms those who have been estranged because of the law, recognizing in them a great faith. The expulsion carried out by those who considered themselves disciples of Moses allows the excluded to realize true faith and salvation in Christ. All right. And so you can read some of the articles on this site, but you'll find things like this on this site of this group. Find LGBT Christians. All right. Find LGBT Christians. In many Italian cities, there are different realities, groups or associations for LGBT Christians and their families who try to be places of welcome, spiritual research and testimony, so that each person can feel understood, loved and supported in their path of growth and faith and acceptance of one's identity. So this seems like there are groups of LGBT Christians. They're lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever they are, but they're Christians. So it doesn't seem at any point that this group even calls for the repentance of these individuals. A repentance, a struggle, a fighting against this lifestyle. No, it seems like you pursue your lifestyle, but hey, you're still a Christian. You're still a good Catholic. And it's like, wait a minute. So it's bizarre that Pope Francis would, it's one thing to make that statement, like that, like technically, yes, God loves all people in a general sense, but you can't divorce from that the teaching of repentance and faith. You can't divorce, hey, just stay as you are. Your children can just stay they can still be a practicing homosexual and they're okay. Now, I'm not saying he was going that far to saying that, but that's what's being taken from that by a lot of people. And that is problematic. That's problematic. And then refers to them as God's children. Well, what do you mean by God's children from creation? Wonderful. That doesn't get you to heaven. There's got to be repentance and faith. Unless now we're just, as Pope Francis promoting a universalistic approach that all people get to heaven, no matter who they are, atheist, agnostic, Muslim. Now, there are times I've almost, Pope Francis at times is pretty close to just to me being that way, that everyone just is going to heaven. Everyone's okay. There's no need for repentance. There's no need for faith in Jesus Christ. So let me give you the name of the group so that you can look it up. You'll have to look up the Latin. What you can do is look up the Latin phrase, And then if you do so through Google, then there's a little thing next to the website that says translate page, and you can translate the page and look at it for yourself. Here, there are three Italian words for this group, all right? The first one is T-E-N-D-A. That's T-E-N-D-A. The second word is D-I. And the third is G-I-O-N-A-T-A, all right? T-E-N-D-A, then space D-I, space G-I-O-N-A-T-A. Now, if you are fluent and you can speak Italian and you have no problem, great. You're probably irritated that I'm not saying it, but I'm not going to try to say it because I'll probably say it incorrectly. The bottom line is, it's not whether I can say it correctly or incorrectly. The point is you being able to look it up for yourself. I want you to look up the group itself. Again, T-E-N-D-A-D-I-G-I-O-N-A-T-A. And it means Jonathan's Tent. I'm still interested in where they're going with that, why they call themselves Jonathan's Tent, but that's okay. The association was founded in 2018 by people who were inspired by a Catholic priest, all right, and a region in Italy, all right. Let me see here. Yeah, someone from the group told Pope Francis, this is the exact words, "We wish to create a bridge to the church so that the church too can change its way of looking at our children, no longer excluding them, but fully welcoming them." So that the group has an agenda. Hey, LGBTQ people should be fully welcomed. Fully welcome. Well, then, okay. Then everyone should be fully welcome no matter what sin. We should just stop condemning sin and just let everyone in with no call to repentance. You're welcome, but there's a call to repentance. Sin still has to be condemned. Lying has to be condemned. Idolatry has to be condemned. Heterosexual, lust, pornography, adultery, fornication. All of this, it still has to be spoken and condemned. Let's see here. What else do we have here? Taking her cue from the booklet's title, so there's a booklet I guess this group puts out. We consider ourselves fortunate because we had to change the way that we had always looked at our children. We found a new way of looking that enabled us to see in them the beauty and love of God. Having listened carefully to what she said, Pope Francis reassured her, the church does not exclude them because she loves them deeply. Okay, what do you mean doesn't exclude them? What do you mean? Like, there's no call to repentance? None? Is homosexuality a mortal sin? Is it a mortal sin? Well, okay, if homosexuality is no longer considered a sin, well, then don't condemn the adulterer. Don't condemn the fornicator. Don't condemn the liar. Don't condemn the cheat, the gossip, the slanderer. Just stop condemning all sin. As he bade them farewell, the association gave the Pope a rainbow-colored T-shirt with the words, "In love, there is no fear." She told the Pope that she is this one, one person. A part of this group who met this priest helped her understand that faith and homosexuality are not in opposition and that God loves my son as he is. That's the key phrase. Hey, as they are, he loves them. Now, yes, in one sense, he does love them as they are, but he loves them as they are to call them to repentance, to live a different way, to walk a different path. She said the Pope, in response, assured her and other parents present that God loves her children because they are all children of God. And when she requested that the church too should change its way so that no one feels excluded, Pope Francis reassured them, saying the church loves her children as they are. I what does that mean? Well, there you have it. You can look up the website. You can use Google Translate. You can dig into the group. You can. I don't know. It just seems to me this is the direction. I hope this is not. This to me is the direction that's influencing not just the Pope, but all of Christianity, which is like, hey, the LGBTQ world, that's the way it is now. And you can't condemn it. You can't speak against it. You can't call those people to repent because that's who they are. And to call them to repent makes you basically transphobic, homophobic, and all kinds of other phobic. And so you just have to go along with it. Well, then my argument is then stop condemning other sins because that's just the way they are. I mean, in fact, that's the way we all are. We're all born as sinners. Original sin. We're all born sinners. So just stop condemning all sin. Hey, I'm an adulterer. That's just what I am. I'm a fornicator. That's just the way I am. I'm a liar. That's just the way I am. I'm a slanderer. That's just the way. I'm a gossip. That's just the way I am. I steal. That's just the way I am. I hurt people. That's just the way I am. I murder people. That's just the way I am. Let's just accept all behavior because that's just the way we are. Now, I'm not saying that Pope Francis is going that far. I'm just saying that it just seems that when it comes to LGBTQ, it's like we can't call that, we can't condemn that or say that that behavior is sinful. It's either sinful or it's not sinful. Now, saying it's sinful doesn't mean you then treat that sin different than the other sin. It doesn't mean that you heap more condemnation and more shame on them. No, you still love. The love is meant to, here's the thing, God's love is present and loves all sinners, but the love is to call and to motivate us to repentance. God's love should motivate us to repentance, to pursue a life of godliness and not a life of ungodliness. Now, we're all going to fall short, all right? We're all going to commit sin. Now, I know in the Catholic Church, you got mortal sin, which destroys the grace of God. And I know, okay, I'm not trying to get into all of the, I know sometimes, I mean, obviously this is the non-Catholic Catholic podcast, so sometimes my non-Catholicism clearly comes through, obviously. But and from my perspective, if we're all sinners, that's why we need the grace of God, that's why we need the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that's why we have to trust in what Christ did, because we're all going to sin. And so someone can be a homosexual, they can be LGBTQ, throw in all the letters you want. And yes, we need to love them. We need to support them. But it's the love and support to move away from the sinful behavior. They may struggle. They may always, in a sense, feel attraction for someone of the same sex. And therefore, but they have to abstain from said action. They have to abstain from it. Just as if I'm not married, and I'm single heterosexual, I'm always going to have a desire for a physical relationship with a person of the opposite sex, right? But I have to abstain from engaging in said activity until marriage. That's the biblical approach. Doesn't mean you say, well, you know, just pretend that the desire's not there. I think for a homosexual, you're like, just pretend the desire's not there. No, I don't have the same desire. I'm going to try to walk with you through this struggle. And it's going to be a struggle that you're going to have to abstain from because the Bible condemns said behavior. Now, if you don't like that, you can obviously throw out the Bible, throw out the church and go pursue a different religion. But trying to change Christianity to accept behavior that the Bible condemns, to me, is just, what is Pope Francis doing? That group has an agenda. That group has an agenda, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Catholics may understand what Pope Francis is doing far better than I am. I'm a little perplexed by it. But to me, it seems in line with a lot of things Pope Francis has done. So what does this mean? I don't know. Pope Francis is going to make some major change in the church? I don't know. I mean, is he going to call for we'll have to. This is what we'll do. I'll do an episode at some point where we look at the catechism and its teaching on homosexuality. That's what we'll do. We'll do that soon. We'll grab the catechism. We'll look at everything it says about human sexuality. And then we'll see if Pope Francis is still standing by that. It's like sometimes that's what it seems like. Sometimes he says something you're like, well, wait, that's not even Catholic, right? That's not even Catholicism. It's like, it's almost like now, is Pope Francis really a Catholic? Is the Pope really Catholic? Well, we don't know anymore, right? I don't know. I would think even a Catholic would be like, wait, what? Because I think the catechism's pretty clear. Catholic teaching seems pretty clear. That would be a sinful behavior. So, yes, God loves your child. He may even love them as they are, but he doesn't love them to keep. He doesn't love them as they are so that they can stay as they are. He loves us as we are, calling us to repentance and faith and to pursue a life of godliness and to die to self, take up our cross, consider ourselves dead, pursuing him, you know, mortifying the desires of the flesh. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. All the things Jesus said, which is a battle and a fight against the flesh, against the sinful desires of the flesh. We are to fight against it. It's a war. It's a struggle. So, all right, I'll stop right there. You can give me your thoughts. You can email me newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. All right. Now, I can hear all the explosions have occurred. Okay. I'm now, everyone's going to be mad at me. Hopefully I've made myself clear. If I haven't, email me before you draw a conclusion. You can ask me clarifying questions and I can come back to this topic. But I at least wanted to get the news out there. I did post this to a number of Catholics. I'll be interesting. I have my perspective, but I understand that I'm the non-Catholic Catholic. I'm the non-Catholic who, because of my study of Catholicism, sometimes referred to as a Catholic, but I'm still a non-Catholic. I mean, I'm sitting here in a Baptist church. I'm a pastor of a Baptist church. So I'm always aware that my perspective sometimes may miss, you know, a nuance there, may miss something. So whenever I report on something, I try to reach out to any Catholics that I know and say, hey, help me out here. Give me the Catholic perspective. So if Catholics clarify this and I'm wrong, I will definitely be willing to explain the Catholic position in greater detail. All right. So there you have it. That's the latest. And you can share your thoughts. All right. Everyone have a great day. God bless.